Good morning, church family. The reading today is from Joshua 8, 1 to 29. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai, for I have delivered it into your hands, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city." So Joshua and the whole army moved out to attack Ai. He chose 30,000 of his best fighting men and sent them out at night with these orders. "Listen carefully. You are to set an ambush behind the city. Don't go very far from it. All of you will be on the alert. I and all those with me will advance on the city. And when the men come out against us, as they did before, we will flee from them. They will pursue us until we have lured them away from the city, for they will say, 'They are running away from us,' as they did before. So when we flee from them, you are to rise up from ambush and take the city. The Lord your God will give it into your hand. When you have taken the city, set it on fire. Do what the Lord has commanded. See to it, you have my orders." Then Joshua sent them off, and they went to the place of ambush and lay in wait between Bethel and Ai, to the west of Ai. But Joshua spent that night with the people. Early the next morning, Joshua mustered his army, and he and the leaders of Israel marched before them to Ai. The entire force that was with him marched up and approached the city and arrived in front of it. They set up camp north of Ai with the valley between them and the city. Joshua had taken about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai to the west of the city. So the soldiers took up their positions with the main camp to the north of the city and the ambush to the west of it. That night, Joshua went into the valley. When the king of Ai saw this, he and all the men of the city hurried out early in the morning to meet Israel in battle at the certain place overlooking the Arabah. But he did not know that an ambush had been set up against him behind the city. Joshua and all Israel let themselves be driven back before them, and they fled towards the wilderness. All the men of Ai were called to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and were lured away from the city. Not a man remained in Ai or Bethel who did not go after Israel. They left the city open and went in pursuit of Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Hold out towards Ai the javelin that is in your hand, for into your hand I will deliver the city." So Joshua held out towards the city the javelin that was in his hand. As soon as he did this, the men in the ambush rose quickly from their position and rushed forward. They entered the city, captured it, and quickly set it on fire. The men of Ai looked back and saw the smoke of the city rising up into the sky. But they had no chance to escape in any direction. The Israelites, who had been fleeing towards the wilderness, had turned back against their pursuers. For when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that smoke was going up from the city, they turned round and attacked the men of Ai. Those in the ambush also came out of the city against them. so that they were caught in the middle with Israelites on both sides. Israel cut them down, leaving them neither survivors nor fugitives, but they took the king of Ai alive and brought him to Joshua. When Israel had finished killing all the men of Ai in the fields and in the wilderness where they had chased them, and when every one of them had been put to the sword, all the Israelites turned to Ai and killed those who were in it. 12,000 men and women fell that day, all the people of Ai, for Joshua did not draw back the hand that held out his javelin until he had destroyed all who lived in Ai. But Israel did carry off for themselves the livestock and plunder of this city, as the Lord had instructed Joshua. So Joshua burnt Ai and made it a permanent heap of ruins, a desolate place to this day. He impaled the body of the king of Ai on a pole and left it there until evening. At sunset, Joshua ordered them to take the body from the pole and throw it down at the entrance of the city gate. And they raised a large pile of rocks over it, which remains to this day. This is the word of the Lord. God.
Thanks, Elaine. Monster reading. Well done. Nice one. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for your word, your living word. We give thanks that we as a church here at Christ Church St Andrews love to study and lean into your word. We ask that you would speak to us this morning, not just giving us information, but that we would see transformation and that we would leave differently this morning than when we arrived. Amen. 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 So, what kind of week have you had? Did you come here this morning a bit beaten up by the world? Maybe a few aches and pains, or maybe a few too many bills to pay, or even just troubled by life itself? Maybe it was hard to get here for 11 o'clock this morning, and perhaps when you arrived at church, it was hard getting up those stairs, and maybe you pulled a little bit harder on the handrail as you came up the stairs. So this morning, what is your posture? Are you a little bit slouched, or are you sitting up straight, eager for God's word? Did you jump up when you were called to stand for worship, or did you groan at having to stand again? What's your posture this morning? What do we think Joshua's posture is, especially after last week, having been beaten, rejected, and after the amazing victory at Jericho, the low and the disaster at the Battle of Ai? We finished last week at a low point in Joshua's leadership. As you know, any leader is judged by the last thing that they've done. Joshua had lost the battle, lost 36 warriors, and had to discipline Achan and his family. Everyone had forgotten about Jericho, or even the crossing of the Jordan. Even the piled stones as a generational reminder had perhaps been forgotten. Perhaps walking around the camp in the evening, Joshua would have heard people whispering, "It's the same old leader, same old Israel, great victory and then being rejected by God. God's not with us anymore." And again, last week, Achan had stolen as he thought God wasn't watching. Joshua would have thought, one of my own people disobedient to God, after all we've been through. We and the people of Israel have seen God's hatred of sin, as Joshua and the people of Israel stoned Achan and his family. Joshua would have been at a low point. He wouldn't have had anything left. His posture would have been shoulders down, beaten and rejected. His people rejected by God and good men killed. So perhaps if Joshua was here this morning, do you know, I think he would have struggled to get up them stairs. And boy, did he need verse 1 this morning. God says to Joshua, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. What we have seen was that Achan's sin was deadly serious. However, most importantly, it had been dealt with. It had been identified, exposed, and punished. And God says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Heads up, stand tall. We've got stuff to do. Listen to my commands and my promises. This is our first encouragement this morning. Whatever bags you've come with this morning, however difficult it was to haul yourself out of bed and get to church this morning, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. God loves you and delights in you. Listen to the words of comfort he has for Joshua. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. But still in verse 1, God continues to speak to Joshua. Take the whole army with you and go up to attack Ai, for I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai and his people, his city and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off the plunder and livestock for yourself. We now see God make some promises to Joshua. I have delivered. You shall, and then you may. I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai and his people, his city and his land. Brilliant. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Brilliant. You may carry off the plunder and livestock for yourselves. Wow. It's clear the future is with God. He has not abandoned. He has not abandoned us. The sinful have messed up but have been punished. Israel had another chance. God says, you can carry the plunder and livestock off for yourself this time. Again, encouragement for those of us this morning who may feel that we have been let down by God, but we have a second chance because God loves us. We saw God's commandments to obey back in chapter 6 at Jericho. God says, everything is mine, touch nothing. Now, in chapter 8, at Ai, there where now God says, everything is yours. Here's the thing. Last week, we read of Achan's sin. But, you know, if he'd only waited, he could have had everything if only he trusted God. Perhaps sometimes it's the same for us. We don't know what God has in store for us. We may have great blessings from God and then think we can do it all ourselves, jumping ahead, not trusting in God's word, and most importantly, God's timing. Individually and as a church family, if we receive great blessings and victories, let's not take the credit for it. We saw the failure last week in chapter 7. God did not command Israel to attack Ai. They came straight out of Jericho, proud, upstanding, mighty army. We are invincible. Send out spies and make plans for ourselves. We read last week in verse 3 of chapter 7. When they returned to Joshua, the spy said, Do not send all the army against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men, for there are few people that live there. They were making plans for themselves and didn't want to see what God had in store. But now, in verse 8, Joshua says, do what the Lord has commanded. God commands now in chapter 8. As the people trusted and followed Joshua, their captain, and now, as we should follow our captain, Jesus, as he shapes our future, and as we continue to build on a solid cornerstone and be obedient. When we pray and God says no, our response should be amen. And when God says yes, our response should also be amen. Trusting that God will bless us, realizing the importance of waiting for God, trusting that he knows best. Now the people of Israel and Joshua now know that their future is with God. So let's look at Joshua's instructions from God in verse 4 to 8. With these orders, listen carefully. You are to set an ambush behind the city. Don't go very far from it. All of you, be on the alert. I and all of those with me will advance in the city. And when the men came out against us, as they did before, we will flee from them. They will pursue us until we have lured them away from the city, for they will say, they are running away from us like they did before. So when we flee from them, you will rise up in ambush and take the city. The Lord our God will give it into your hand. When you have taken the city, set it on fire. Do what the Lord commands. See to it you have your orders. Unlike Jericho, marching around blowing a few horns, this was actually going to be a proper battle. Not taking ground, not just a classic land grab, but we are seeing a war. The city is under God's judgment. This is a city that worshipped false gods and was in opposition to God. God's orders, the total annihilation of the city. We see specific battle commands. The explanation of what God wants in verses 4 to 8. Then we see the execution of those plans in verse 8 to 24. The command in verse 4, you will set an ambush behind the city. Then the outcome in verse 9, then Joshua sent them out and they were placed an ambush and waited to lie in wait between Bethel and Ai. The command in verse 6, they will pursue us until we lure them away from the city. Then the outcome, verse 16. All the men in Ai were called to pursue them. They pursued Joshua and were lured away from the city. Then the command in verse 8. When you have taken the city, set it on fire. Then in verse 19, the outcome. As soon as they did this, the men ambushed and rose quickly from their positions and rushed forward. They entered the city, captured it, and quickly set it on fire. It looks like a repeat, but actually it's showing that victory is obtained by hearing the word of God, and putting it into practice. The victory is assured by obeying perfectly what God wanted them to do. We see the connection as Joshua takes his orders from God and then gets it executed perfectly. God tells Joshua. Joshua tells the army and sends them out with God's orders. In verse 8, do what the Lord commands. See to it, you have my orders. Then we see the detail of the battle following Joshua's orders. Verse 9 to 27. We see Joshua send out 5,000 warriors to wait in ambush between Ai and Bethel, west of the city. Joshua went with the remaining warriors and set up camp to the north. The king of Ai saw the camp, got his troops out early to meet them. Then Joshua's troops fled into the wilderness, with the king Ai seeing yet another victory gave chase. Just as God had told Joshua he would do. Verse 18, then the Lord said to Joshua, hold out towards Ai the javelin that was in your hand, for into your hand I will deliver the city. So Joshua held out to all the city the javelin that was in his hand. As soon as he did this, the men in the ambush rose quickly from their position and rushed forward, then entered the city and captured it and set it on fire quickly. Then those that had fled back on their pursuers were struck down as those left the city, and the king of Ai was taken to Joshua. Now we see the victory. For Joshua did not draw back the hand that held out the javelin until he had destroyed all who lived in Ai. But Israel did carry off for themselves the livestock and plundered the city, as the Lord had instructed Joshua. They were doing as they were told. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a permanent heap of ruins, a desolate place to this day. He impaled the body of the king of Ai on a pole and left it there until evening. At sunset, Joshua ordered them to take the body down from the pole and throw it down at the entrance of the city gate, and raise a large pile of rocks over it, which remains there to this day. Wow, the victory is Israel's. Hearing God's commands and following them. However, we read yet another pile of rocks. And they raised a large pile of rocks over it, which remains there to this day. Now, there seems to be a lot of piles of rocks around. Rocks to act as a reminder to the chosen people. A pile of rocks at Gilgal to remind the generations of crossing the Jordan. A pile of rocks at the Valley of Achor to remind the generations of Achan's sin. And now a pile of rocks at the city gate of Ai to remind generations of worshipping false gods and the sin of the city and its king. Also to remind generations of the faithfulness of God, the seriousness of sin, and that God is a God of second chances. Now, that's a lot of reminders. And it struck me whilst I was preparing that God's blessing on our lives and the life of our church family are often missed, and we often forget them. To be honest, a pile of rocks at the back of church might be a good idea. It would remind us of other blessings and answer prayers. Maybe for myself, a pile of rocks in the garden would actually help me remember the blessing of children and grandchildren. We heard a couple of weeks ago about God's plans to bring Simon, our associate minister, and his family to Herne Bay. We heard about the leadership team here at Christchurch St Andrews and their discernment, willingness to surrender to God's plan. Perhaps God is blessing us with Simon, and he will be our living pile of rocks to remind us of the prayer time, the financial commitment that we have made, and that it's God's plan, not ours. We see Joshua and the people of Israel trusting in God, trusting in his timetable, and reaping the rewards and benefits. We do, however, see a theme throughout the Old Testament of trusting and not trusting in God's promises, trying to do stuff themselves. And it's a picture similar in our lives too. But as I close, I ask you two questions this morning. What is your AI? And where is your Gilgal? Firstly, what is your AI? Where have you failed to do something or made a hash or rash decision? Something you've said, or perhaps a long-standing reoccurring sin that has not been addressed. Where have you battled alone, making plans and failing? Perhaps you need God to help you win that battle. Secondly, where is your Gilgal? At the start of the book of Joshua, rocks were piled at Gilgal as a reminder of God's blessing as they crossed the Jordan. Where are you able to look back at times when God has blessed you? It may not necessarily be a pile of rocks, but nevertheless, something that stands as a reminder of God's amazing love and blessing in your life. Is God challenging you to find a permanent reminder of his love and grace that he's given you? Or is he challenging you this morning to go back and revisit something that you've tried and failed at on your own, but now need to listen to God's commands? If he is, I ask that you would take time and listen to God's instructions, his battle plans for your life. Maybe he's spoken to you this morning and you're worried. If that's the case, remember, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Let's pray. Father God, you are an awesome God. You reign, and we ask that your word to Joshua, not to be afraid and not to be discouraged, would resonate in our hearts this morning and this week as we remember your blessing in our lives, and that you would speak of those blessings and encourage us and help us trust you always. Amen.